Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Double Play. I'm here with Fights. Hello.
Hello, Clemmer. Thank you very much for having me.
Happy to have you here.
I was very happy to be here. Now that I'm looking at myself, I'm less happy to be here. That
Why?
Leg is repulsive.
It's just very white.
It is.
It's translucent.
Impossibly white. And it is.
No,
you got me beat. Do you?
Not by much.
That.
It is very white.
I mean, you got me beat more than your tanner.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're more milky.
This beats Robert Redford's shirt.
Yeah, I agree.
That my leg is whiter than his white shirt. This is disgusting. Oh, my God.
Well,
I can't sit any other way because if I sit regularly, you're going to see my fucking varicose vein. So.
It's okay.
I'm starting off on a bet.
I gotta say, you gotta go sit in the sun this weekend. Supposed to be hot.
You wanna know what's crazy? I sit in the sun.
Oh, really?
That was so real. I was like, oh, really?
You're fucked. I don't have anything for you.
I sit in the sun like 20 minutes a day, half hour a day, a little pool.
I think you gotta do maybe a little more. 20 minutes, that's not.
Bro, I was told, someone was on the show on Case Radio recently where like sometimes you're just told things in life and they just stick with you and like. You know logically it's wrong.
Right.
And
probably so stuff as kids.
But
especially.
It's like, in those formative years where I was like, the examples I gave were one, when I was like in high school, someone told me that cleaning your face with soap is how you get acne. I didn't touch my face with soap until like 2 years ago.
Did that end up giving you acne?
No, it worked. Right. So I stopped. I didn't have acne, but I would get pimples. And I like never got pimples anymore because I stopped using soap on my face. And for like 20 years, I didn't use soap on my face. I just had water on my face for like 20 years. And
that's kind of gross.
It's so gross, dude. And then one time a guy in a gym who was jacked was like, I was like in high school working out. And he's like, what's your diet like, man? And I was like, I don't know. I eat trail mix. And he's like, I don't know. Whatever my dad had around the house. And he's like, don't do that. Almonds just make you hungrier. To this day, if someone offers me almonds, I'm like, no, I'm not going to make myself hungrier. And one time someone told me, in order to get a good tan, all you have to do is sit in the sun for 30 minutes at 3 p.m. every day. And I obviously am not always available at 3 p.m., but whenever I'm home or around, I try and get in the sun for 30 minutes at 3 p.m. 15, 20 years of it not working, I still stand by it.
I feel bad. I'm taking away from your tanning time. I appreciate you taking it out of your busy schedule. We are talking about The Natural and The Karate Kid. I'll just come out and say it. Two of my favorite movies. One of these in particular is one of like my all-time favorite movies. So I'm pretty passionate about these.
I'm glad to hear that. I've been arguing with passionate people about movies lately.
Yeah, you've been in a lot of Barbie anger. You got all the women in the office hate you right now. I don't hate you.
Thank you very much.
If you say nasty things about Karate Kid, we might have a problem.
Okay.
Both these movies. So usually we do the whatever came out first. These movies both came out the same year. Which
really?
Is wild. So 84 was an awesome year. Ghostbusters. Like there's so many great movies that came out in 1984.
What else is there? I haven't seen Ghostbusters.
Shit, there's a ton of great movies that came out in 1984. Well, in fact, let's do this right now. So when Natural came out, the weekend it came out was in May of 84. Here's what was in the theater. So it was number one. Number two was Breakin', which is a movie about breakdancing.
I haven't seen that
one. Which I'm sure you could relate to. Number three was Firestarter, the Drew Barrymore movie. Not particularly great. But four was 16 Candles. Five, Romancing the Stone. Six, Police Academy. And 10 was Splash. And also Footloose was 11th. So there's a lot of good movies there.
I haven't seen. Splash is the only one I've seen.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like I was born in 88. I feel like 84 is like my dad either wanted to show me like his favorites or movies that were currently coming out. So, like, I feel like that era is, like, there weren't classics to him, and they weren't new movies. So I feel like that era, it's almost like when you're in, like, high school or elementary school, or whatever, and you're not really learning about what's happening right now.
Yeah,
you don't really learn, like, because the textbooks are older,
right? Yeah,
so you don't learn about, like, what just happened or anything like that. Like, I always say, like, I didn't even know what the fuck Waco was, because, like, that happened while I was in school.
Yep.
And it just, like, that. I feel like that this era of movies, Karate Kid I'd seen, The Natural I had not seen, is kind of, it just fell like right where the textbooks haven't been updated.
Right where you just missed it. Yeah. So I was born in 79. So I just, like, a late 70s, for instance, that wasn't in textbooks.
Right.
So, like, there's stuff that happened there that I'm sure I would be missing out on. So Karate Kid has its interesting story. So that came out in the following month, I believe, right? That came out in June. But it hung around. It was never higher than fourth. But it hung around until, like, almost Halloween time. And it was always in the top 10. It just was always fourth or fifth every week for an entire summer.
Never got higher than fourth.
So let's pick a random. I'm going to just pick this week in August. So this particular week you had Red Dawn come out. Number two is Ghostbusters, Purple Rain, which isn't a very good movie. Great soundtrack. Revenge of the Nerds, Karate Kid, Gremlins, The Jungle Book got re-released. Also came out in 84, Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, and Neverending Story. And that was all in the same summer. So, like, if you go to the summer, the movies in the summer of 84, there's just, like, classic after classic after classic.
That's wild.
A lot of people, and not a lot of people, but there's been books written about how they feel 1984 is the greatest year for pop culture. You had unbelievable music from Prince, Bruce Springsteen, just tons of great music. TV was pretty good, and the movies were stacked.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That 84. 94 was a big year, too, for movies, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
84, you had on TV, you had, like, Family Ties, Cosby Show, Cheers, a bunch of good shows. TV was really starting to, like, have that fun time in the 80s. So let's talk Natural. We'll start with this one here. So you never seen it before. What'd you think?
I had never seen it. I enjoyed it. I liked it. Didn't love it. Do we go grades off top, or we
do
go
whatever you want?
I would give it. I know Dave says that, like, even scores aren't.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Their rookie scores.
Okay.
I am as close to a binary person as it gets, where it's like, either it's either good or bad.
Yeah. Siskel and Ebert, thumbs up, thumbs down.
It's but it's not, I'm not going to give it, not that basic, but I'll give this a 70. I think everything's going to be on a 10 scale. This is a 70. I liked it a lot. There were parts of it where I laughed out loud, and I don't know if that was intentional.
There's some comedy in the movie, but not a ton.
Bumpy Burke?
That is ridiculous.
That scene, I was trying to show that scene to Kevin today. I erupted into laughter.
I mean, his name is Bump.
Bump.
And he dies crashing into a wall.
So he crashes the wall.
So that's kind of meant to be a joke.
But then, like, the cut right away to, like, Bump's funeral. Yeah.
I think that's dark humor. I think that's supposed to be funny.
Because that was fun.
Yeah.
That, like, I was like, I wasn't sure if it was, like, supposed to be funny, but I was fucking dying laughing. Not only that, but when the plane is flying overhead, they're doing a flyover for Bump's funeral, and the plane's flying overhead, and the stadium announcer says that his ashes wanted to be there forever, and it looks like a chemtrail comes out of the plane. There's so many fucking – if you're from a plane, looking up at a plane, if a person's ashes should be dumped out, it should look like someone spit out the window.
No, like, I mean, think about, like, what an urn. An urn's, like, what, about this big, right? Like, the idea that this much would take up any – you would never be able to see that. Right?
There were, like, four things of dust that came flying out of the plane.
Pesticide.
That was very funny. But all in all, I think both these movies, because they came out the same year, which I didn't realize, but I obviously could tell they both came out from a similar era. I think they both did a great job, and I'll be more specific with The Natural, of not even a great job, but I think it was cool to see things breathe. I mean, you don't see that as often anymore.
Both of these movies you see
a lot of breathing. I think I didn't do the exact math, but I think it's something like if you combined the two movies combined, the first parts of, there's like a half hour of kind of nothing happening.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, it's almost like I was thinking with With Karate Kid, and I know we like them separated, so
no, it's fine. But you can talk about both. Okay. I'm going to bring up an example of Karate Kid in a second.
The Karate Kid, there's them coming cross country. Like, there's like not really dialogue for like, I think it was 8 to 12 minutes or something like that. Like
it's a little bit. It's a credit sequence, but still, like, you're just watching a car drive through America.
Yeah, and I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. That was cool. And then the Natural, it was something similar. It wasn't quite. There was a little more going on, but it was more like Untold, where you just see like a dad playing catch with his son, and there's a little not really
very
dialogue,
little,
but there
very
are
little dialogue
lines
beginning Natural
here and there. And I was like, this is almost. I was watching in the Natural in particular, where I was watching it, and I was like thinking about that movie in modern times. I was like, this right here, these 10 minutes would be a whole movie.
Like, or just be cut,
right? Where it's just like it's exactly. It would either be that's actually exactly what I thought. Where I thought this wouldn't be there,
no.
And then if the movie was a hit, this would be a new movie. Where right. it's just here's the backstory. Here's a young kid who could throw a ball through a fence. He's a really great, really talented player. His dad died. A lightning bolt hit a tree. Like it was enough backstory, and it was told in a cool way. I don't see that often anymore. I don't really remember even seeing that because again, this era of movies wasn't really my big era.
No, this is when movies started. So the 70s were famous for kind of their slow pacing. There's a great example of Karate Kid. It's exactly what you're talking about. He gets to the apartment and he asks an old woman directions on where to find the handyman, which right there would never exist today because like he would just go there. And she gives him directions and he goes, what? She gives him the directions again. He repeats the directions and then you watch the tracking shot of him going there. But it's establishing a lot of things there. You're seeing someone that is out of their element, talking with someone that's not from the area. You can see he's confused and lost, and we're understanding Daniel is someone that's lost right now.
Yeah,
and it's the way it's like, and that's what the film is showing. That would never happen today. Yeah. He would just, you know what happened? You'd have a cut and he'd be there.
Yeah.
And we miss out all of that, and all that stuff is nice. It's nice to watch these characters, like I said, breathe, live in the world. It makes you get more emotional to them because they seem more like real people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, The Natural, a little different where it's a fairy tale, right? Like, Major League is the comedy of baseball. Like, Field of Dreams is about, like, the heart of baseball. Mm-hmm. Bull Durham is about, like, the love of baseball, where this is a fairy tale of baseball.
Yeah.
And I think it's shot that way. I think some parts are intentionally goofy.
Him also getting shot was another one. I knew this movie was about Roy. I knew Roy Hobbs. I knew There Goes Roy Hobbs, the best there ever was. I'd heard those lines, which was actually cool seeing things like that. Was Welcome to the Majors, Kid, was that from this movie, or is that something that was said before the movie, too?
I kind of think before the movie.
Yeah, I would think so, but I wasn't
sure. Once again, 84, I was 4 when it came out, so I wasn't really, like, you know, what people were saying back then, so I don't know. I got to think that was before.
Okay, but it was cool to see some of that stuff, and so I had, obviously, some idea what the movie was about, but
him getting shot, so that
never in a million years did I expect that.
No, it's stunning, it's scary, it's so sad. It hits everything for me, like, that moment.
See, I didn't think it was, maybe because it was so shocking, I wasn't.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations, so when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today, taste the difference, and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
Able to be sad, where I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, that was...
That actually makes sense, because, like...
there was no hint that he was...
There's no hint. There is a... You've watched... If you, like... So, I've seen this movie, like, 25 times. But, and you're right. Maybe the first time I saw it, I wasn't sad, because I was more shocked. I get sad because I know what's going to happen next. This guy loses everything. But there is a line Robert Duvall says on the train. He's like, oh, another person got shot with a silver bullet. And then the camera immediately cuts to Barbara Hershey in black. But if you don't know what's coming, you would never connect those two things.
I did not catch
that. Yeah, like, that's obviously a nice little Easter egg for people who have already seen the movie, because otherwise you would have no idea.
Right.
She's kind of a weird one, but you never think she would commit murder.
Yeah, yeah.
And the movie...
I thought, and that might be because of the, you know, movies now and stories now and how we see things now, but, like, I was like, oh, they're about to have some weird sex.
Yes. Maybe she'll, you know, blackmail. Like, I don't know. I didn't expect her to shoot him.
Yeah.
And then we see later on, she kills herself right afterwards. It's just like, wow, that's a lot going on there. I think one thing you talk about is things that are kind of goofy about it. So Robert Redford was 48 when he made this, which is insane because he's so handsome. He does not look 40. He looks late 30s. But at one point, he's playing someone who's probably 18 or 19 years old. Yeah. And that is ridiculous.
I loved that. There were some things about both these movies, again, that I really loved. And it was one, it's when actors were actors. And I don't just mean that as in, like, there's great acting. They were both very well acted. But they just showed – nowadays, I feel like – and this is great in the craft, and some of them do it exceptionally well. But, like, actors don't – they obviously act. But, like, with method acting and things like that, where it's just like, oh, how did I train for this? I went and, like, worked as that for 3 years or something like that. Where, like, Daniel LaRusso and Robert Redford just showed up and, like, yep. I'll just pretend to be a baseball player and I'll pretend to know karate.
Yep.
Like it was – if there was a Karate Kid made today, like, whoever that kid was, the actor was, like, he would train in karate forever. And it would be very cool. And I like that too. I'm not saying that people should stop that. But I think it's cool too to just be like, no, I'm an actor. I'll just pretend I know how to do it.
You know what's cool though? In both movies, though, I totally – and even to this day, I buy it. Like, Redford is a good enough athlete, I buy it.
His swing was better than I expected.
Right.
His throw was a little...
When he's pitching in the beginning, it's a little bit... And I totally buy LaRusso as... I know he's skinnier than I am in this movie. I still buy it.
I thought he was very unathletic. Because in comparison to some of the other people were way more athletic.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he could be...
Like the Cobra Kai kid?
Yeah. Like, I guess I could believe him as a young karate kid. I can't really grab, and it didn't take me out of it or anything like that, but it was like, that dude would beat the shit out of him.
Maybe it helps that they do, the whole first half of the movie is basically Daniel moves to California with his mom,
mm-hmm.
and then gets the shit kicked out of him for like an hour. That's the whole beginning of Karate Kid. It's him just getting, and then the next act is him doing chores.
Yeah.
And the last act is, you know, them obviously at the competition. But all of it is all of it. So both movies are emotional to some extent. I was very emotional. I almost started crying during Karate Kid.
This weekend?
Yeah, for the first time in my life.
Really?
I've watched this movie. So this movie was on HBO 10 zillion times a day from 1985, 1988. I feel like it was on all the time. I've watched it countless times. I had never got my eyes like damp before watching it, and I was this time.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older.
Maybe, you know what? I might have. I've been very emotional a lot lately, so I'm trying to peg when that was. But there might have been a little bit.
We were just talking on the act, and like there was a period of like 5 years of my life where I didn't cry at all. I didn't cry once. And in my 30s, I started to cry a little bit more. And my 40s, like it doesn't take much to get the waterworks going.
I am with you on that. I don't know if I cried in my 20s.
No, yeah. In my early 20s? Yeah. Not at all.
I think I'm sure there was the rare occasion. But I don't think I cried much in my 20s. In my 30s, like an insurance commercial can get me.
My buddies and I'm 43, and my buddies and I all talk. All the kids I went to school with, we're all still friends, and like everyone agrees, they're all like, we don't cry either. Like we cry all the time. Cry all the time now. And I don't know if it's like a low testosterone thing. I don't know what it is. Like you just get older, you just cry more. I don't know. But then like Viv is talking about his grandfather, and he doesn't cry at all. He's 93. So I mean, maybe we're just a generation of pussies.
Be calloused, maybe. I think the tears, they make sense now because, like, when I was 20, I didn't know anything. And I don't mean that as in I'm dumb. I mean that as in I just didn't, I had no experience. Now, everything I see, I'm like, I either have done that or I can relate that
or
to
something.
Or I know something
like that.
It has, you've been through more that you can, you're empathizing more, I guess.
The stuff like, with Pat Morita, who's so great as Mr. Miyagi, I mean, just an incredible performance. It is just, stunning how good he is as Mr. Miyagi. The stuff with his wife and then his wife dying at childbirth and he's just drunk and crying in his military uniform. It fucking breaks me, man.
It is very sad. Awful. And particularly when he like goes to the bed and he kind of just drops the bottle. But there also is a part where I tweeted this last night, so you may have seen it. But when I was watching this, I probably haven't watched it since I watched it with my dad as a kid. I don't think I've seen it. You know, maybe I've seen bits and pieces here and there, but like, and I watched it regularly at that age. But I don't think I've watched it start to finish in quite some time. So in my memory, this was a movie about children. Like they weren't they were kids because I was a kid when I watched it, so I related to it.
Yeah.
Like, in my head, when it happens pretty quickly, it happens probably in the first half of the movie, when they pull up on the dirt bikes and like, hey, anyone want a warm brewski? I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
They were drinking?
Well, I think you could drink at 18 still then, though, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Right? But then when they're smoking weed, when he's rolling the joint in the bathroom stall, I was like, I did not remember these guys as beer drinking, weed smoking. Right. I thought they were just kids doing karate. And in fact, I actually think if you're doing karate your senior year of high school, it's a little weird.
Yeah, right.
Like, who the fuck is still doing karate?
There's a line in the movie where he goes, she goes, are you're excited about the tournament? And he goes, you know about it? And she goes, yeah, everyone does. I don't know about you, but no one knew about karate tournaments when I was in high school. Like there was not like a thing where everyone knows. And the crowd was packed. The Valley tournament was like a million people there.
I'm glad he said All Valley. I thought that while watching it. I was like, nothing's All Valley anymore. You got a lot of state, city championships. Yeah. All Valley, I feel like, was an 80s thing where like there's the All Valley contest and the All Valley championships like that. And maybe it's just those movies were set in California.
I think we also like idolized California in the 80s. It's California. This is like in my mind, I think of like California is almost like a different planet. Like so exciting and
it
wild.
It is a different planet. Whenever I go to California – and you wake up and it's like it's already noon here.
That's so
weird. I'm like, the day has happened. Not like
right.
I missed the day. So I just got to go to the beach.
Right. Yeah. And I think there's a whole different attitude, but I do think though in the 80s especially it was a lot of like you saw less stuff in New York and you saw more stuff like LA was cool.
Yeah.
And then in the 90s somehow it became New York was cool again and LA was kind of lame. And I don't really know where we are now.
Boston. Well, no, 2000 were Boston.
You're right. The first decade especially was all Boston. I mean, really from Good Will Hunting until like the Patriots' third Super Bowl was all Boston. That's all you saw. Right. I don't know where we are now with that kind of stuff. I don't know. But I don't know if LA is cooler than New York.
Honestly, probably if what's dominating television is I guess it's the Midwest. I don't really know what region of the country it is.
Look at you, good company man for Barstool. It's all Chicago now, right? Look at that.
I mean, I guess Chicago too is kind of having a bit of a thing with the bear, but then I was talking more like Yellowstone and like those the Montana landscapes. I think Taylor Sheridan between starting with Sicario kind of ushered in like the vast the
hell or high water. You're right. Yellowstone is a huge show. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it is more like that Western landscape is taking over more. I do love in the beginning. It's obviously not them in the car. I get it. You know, it's obviously not you never see Daniel's face pushing that car in Newark, so it's obviously like a second unit doing that, which is fine. I'll put that, but I do like
that's so funny seeing stuff like that. And I was watching Seinfeld recently, and I always knew it was shot in L.A., but it didn't really strike me.
I know,
and when Kramer is on the run or something like that, and he's running from the fucking I don't know if it's the cable guy or electric guy or phone guy, but one of those guys. And he's trying to chase him down, and they're running through New York, they're running through Times Square, and it's all from behind them. And I was like, that is not Michael.
Obviously not, right? But you hear they're doing the AVR, you hear their voice in the AVR, you hear their voice in it. Yeah, it's very funny.
But it's like nowadays, they'd fly out. They would do that cheaply.
Green screen nowadays. Right. Or like a CGI somehow. I give the natural. I'm going to give the natural 91. I really love this movie. I love the fairy tale aspect of it in conjunction with baseball. I think Redford's performance is great. Has an amazing cast: Barbara Hershey, Glenn Close, Wilford Brimley, Michael Madsen plays Bump.
Michael Madsen, yes.
I mean, it's like I'm even forgetting people. I know
Robert Duvall. You said already, but
Robert Duvall. I mean, like one of the greatest character actors of ever. You have
character actor is such a funny phrase. I saw someone say once that. Character actors is, and I don't think this applies to Robert Duvall, but the character actors is because we had to invent a phrase to describe ugly people who can act.
Well, I think like maybe him losing his hair early might have. You know, like when you're watching The Godfather, you know, like Al Pacino obviously is the roles, but like there's never like, you know, Tom Hagen's not the star. Like, you know, like Robert Duvall is never going to be the star of that movie. Al Pacino just like, Duvall's amazing in it, but there's no question like Brando is a movie star. Al Pacino is a movie star. Robert Duvall is a character. You know, like, Gene Hackman's a character, actually, but he could still top line movies.
The best,
and he's the greatest actor ever, maybe. Yeah. I say with no disdain.
Gene Hackman.
Plus, I'm an ugly guy, so I'll defend ugly guys all day. Karate Kid, I got to give it like 99. And I know that's wild. I'm going to get eaten alive for it. That's fine. I love this. And I'm sure it's a lot of nostalgia. It's a lot of emotion for me. I've watched this movie literally since I was 4 years old, constantly. It just speaks. When they're at the tournament and he goes, the score, both scores of these films are great. The score in that, when it builds up like that, I get chills every time. I could watch it 10 times in a row, but get chills every time. Like the hair on my arms, and you're just like, oh, it's on. Let's go. Daniel kicks some ass. The crane kick at the end, and it ends with a smirking Pat Morita, is the best.
The crane kick, by the way, I'd crush the crane kick. You come at me with a crane kick, I'm kicking your ass.
Really?
Yes, dude. The crane kick.
He practiced at that beach, though, on that wooden post.
Well, I don't even understand the application of it. Why is the crane kick unbeatable if you do it right?
And
I'm having fun right now. I'm not actually picking bones.
You're going so high up, maybe, because you're like going for like that. Maybe I also think that obviously Johnny's very disarmed, like doesn't take him seriously. All right, I've already fucked this kid's leg up. He has nothing left. And then maybe he didn't expect that kind of kick to go that high. I don't know.
But like that, it's all. I guess you're thinking he's going to hit you with a leg that's already up, so it's a little bit of a surprise. But you come a crank kicking me. I think I'm getting out of there 10 times out of 10. Also, by the way,
if you got in the way, Daniel probably would have lost, because then I think he would have lost his balance and fallen. Yeah, right? You would have been able to get him easily.
I used to think when I was a kid, and I didn't just learn this now. I realized it later in life, but I thought he went up, kicked, landed back on that leg. He doesn't. He like lands on his other leg, bounces real quick, and then gets that other leg back up.
Yeah.
I thought it was all like, that's what I thought the craziness of the crane kick was that it was like that leg never hit the ground.
Yeah.
The fact that there's more like a little more balance to it, I was like, oh, okay, I could probably beat that. Also, in that fight, Johnny's well within his rights to sweep the leg.
Yeah.
Why would you not sweep the leg? You know your opponent's hurt. You go to the weak side.
Well, I mean, the Cobra Kai motto is no mercy. So there is a theory out there that a lot of people like, where it's like Johnny's the good guy and Daniel's the bad guy.
I'm not trying. I know people. That actually annoys me now.
If you watch the movie, it's such bullshit.
Yes.
Because like Johnny comes over, he smashes his girlfriend's radio. He picks on this kid for no reason. He's an asshole.
What is even like? The one that always pisses me off, that people always try and do, is like the revisionist history stuff. And Jim in the Office is actually the asshole. Like, no, he's not. I watched the show. I felt what I felt. He's not the asshole. What is the argument for Johnny being the good guy?
I think it's just people. You know, people have this, which I love other theories and movies and stuff. That's fine. Like, to me, it just doesn't hold up. Like, Johnny is such a complete dick. If you watch The Karate Kid, there's no question Johnny's an asshole. Yes. He's a mean, horrible person. He's mean to Daniel all the time. He's just an asshole.
Mean to Elizabeth Shue.
Mean to was a horrible ex-boy. They weren't even dating. Comes over on his moped, like kicks sand. He's just an asshole. Oh, they're doing soccer. They're playing soccer, and they intentionally fuck with him. So he's gonna to fight.
Oh,
and then he gets thrown off the soccer team.
Yeah,
like they constantly keep provoking this new kid. They're so mean. There's no question. So, and then, you know, Cobra Kai comes out, which the first season I thought was pretty good. Did you watch that on Netflix?
I actually did not see that.
It's all right. It's pretty good. It kind of loses its way afterwards, and it kind of flips the script a little bit. And Billy Zabka, who plays Johnny, is sort of like a sympathetic character, and he does a great job. It's a fun show. But if you watch Karate Kid, I'm sorry, there's no question. Johnny's a bad guy. I'm not even going to like enter that discussion. Yeah. Like, I'm glad he didn't come in with that. I was like, oh, like I don't want to like. I'm telling
you, what could Daniel possibly have done that with? Like,
they say like, you know,
only if you said Johnny's not that bad. Which I don't agree with, but at least I guess I would hear your argument. What did Daniel do that could even make him close to a villain?
I guess he pours water on Johnny when he's like just in the stall. So in theory, he's like vulnerable there.
That is a little. You sought it out.
The soccer thing, like he does punch the kid in the face where he just got tripped, and it's kind of like ups the ante there. So like, but I also like that Daniel is not a. There's a little bit of gray area here.
Yeah.
So John G. Avildsen's the director of Karate Kid. He also directed Rocky, the original Rocky. Oh. Two of the greatest sports movies of all time. And both those characters, there's some weird stuff going on. Like when Rocky with Adrian and date rape, but it's a little bit, there's some weird stuff going on in that scene. He kind of traps her in his apartment.
There's also the Rocky. I pitched this on KS Radio recently because I was I think all the Rockies recently came on Netflix.
Okay,
Fairly recently at least, but I noticed it at least, and I think I put on Rocky 2 maybe, and yes, it was Rocky 2 because he's buying a house.
Yes,
and that starts with him buying the house, And I said, if you watch Rocky through the lens that Rocky Balboa has special needs.
Yeah.
It's a very funny movie because he pulls up to park and he's just on, he parks on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And then they're walking into the house and he can only talk about the brick. He's got, obviously he's got the voice. He's like, hey, here's a pretty brick. Nice brick right here. And they're like, what? And then they're in the living room and he's like, put a punching bag right here. And he's like, no one says
punching
that.
Bag in the living room. And then like, he went into the commercial. He's like a nice, and
he, yes, yes. Yeah. And then it cuts to he can't read. Yeah. And I was watching and I was like, what the fuck is Rocky?
No, Rocky, it's funny. If you watch Rocky, like,
never has his arms up once when he's fighting. It's always just hands down taking.
Oh, I'll defend. Brandon Walker's like, the fight scenes in Rocky are unrealistic. I will fight that to the day I die because I think those fight scenes are just amazing.
They're so great.
I don't care. You're right.
At one point, the corner would yell, get your hands up, yeah. Dude. Get your hands up.
That might explain why. I mean, we're kind of answering our own question here. But it's funny. Like Rocky 1-5, he's very slow. Like, he's just a slower guy. Rocky 6, he owns a restaurant. That's not easy, though. He has to, and he's like going there doing inventory. He's like, no fucking way is Rocky like owning a successful Italian restaurant. That's a major help.
That's actually the story of Rocky. It's not a guy who learned to fight. It's a guy who learned to read and do math.
Right. Guy who wanted to open a restaurant. That's the wildest thing in the Rocky movies. Daniel LaRusso, played by Ralph Macchio, of course, he lived in the town over from me in Long Island. Mm-hmm. So he was like, when I was a kid, so he was like a hero. Like, you would hope to see him. I never saw him. You'd hope to see him in the mall, hope to see him like on the street. Like, it was like, oh my God, Ralph Macchio was a town away.
He was like, I don't want to say sex symbol because I'm pretty sure he was pretty young, but like, he was, like,
I think he was on,
not to try.
I think right? He was on the cover of like those Tiger Beat magazines stuff when we were, especially in the 80s, when, because Rocky, I mean, Karate Kid 2 came out a few years later. I saw that in the theaters. Did not like it. I don't like Karate Kid 3 either. But yeah, he was definitely. But then if you watch My Cousin Vinny, you can see that the cuteness kind of wears off. He's like a regular looking guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, pretty quick. But no, he made the most of it.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas treatment. Like, ooh.
Yeah. And it, well, even worse thing, but yeah, it's like, oh.
Yeah. Maybe a haircut?
Imagine that. Imagine like being like so cute and so popular, and then you just like get older and like no one wants anything to do with
you. Yeah, you hit puberty and people are turned off like, by you now.
No thanks.
Like, what the fuck?
It's no surprise these people all go insane, right? Like these child stars.
I'm not hot anymore.
No, go back to being 8. We liked you when you were in second grade. But he was actually, he just looked young. He was older than you might think. I want to say he was like 24 when he did this.
Oh,
which is,
really?
Yeah, he was some. Let me find out because I can look it up.
24 is a fair age to play high school. I remember when I learned Tim Riggins or Taylor Kitsch was 28 playing Tim Riggins. I was like, oh.
Well, it's like,
that's
crazy. So he's born in 61. I'm sorry. He was 23 when he did this. But I just think he looks so. It's like not like 90210. Those guys were all like,
yeah.
Ian Ziering, Steve Sanders, like losing his hair when he's like a sophomore. It's like, well, all right. But, I didn't think he looks like he's like 14 or 15.
Yeah, I think once I saw that they were smoking weed and drinking beers, and I think Johnny even says like, I'm starting.
I'm a senior year. Yeah.
I was like, okay, they're seniors. I thought of him as a younger kid. Even like, I didn't think of him as a senior.
I don't think Daniel's supposed to be a senior. Johnny obviously is because they even say that. But right. I don't think Elizabeth Shue and Daniel are supposed to be seniors.
I was saying junior at all because he is very young looking.
Yeah. Do you think the guys still kick the shit out of him after the tournament? I say no.
No.
No, I think he earned their respect.
I mean, Johnny gives him the trophy, which I thought was
inserting himself into it.
let him have his moment real quick.
He jumps right in. You're all right.
But then the one who injured him first, he had a range of emotions really quick where he obviously doesn't want to hurt him and then hurts him.
That's Dutch, I believe.
Dutch, okay. And then apologizes very quickly, immediately. I didn't mean it, Daniel. I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
And then the next fight is like, fuck, you kick him in the leg. Like,
put him in a body
put
bag.
Put him in a body bag. Yeah. Like, dude's all over the place. Like, he goes.
Those Cobra Kai kids are wild.
Yeah.
we have to talk about. His last name is Rowan. I'm going to get his name right. It's Kreese, who plays the owner of the Cobra Kai dojo.
That, what a picture, by the
Martin
way.
Martin Crowe. I think he is such a badass.
He's great.
He is scary.
When the picture, he's very badass as himself. when they try and make him look badass, it becomes almost comical. That picture of him as a Marine is outrageous.
Yeah, that's but like in the black, like the, in yeah, dojo, yeah. And it's like, oh, this guy is no mercy, and you know, and he even threatens. This is wild. This is some wild stuff happens in this movie. So Daniel and Mr. Miyagi go to the dojo, and Mr. Miyagi is kind of defending Daniel and being like, hey, and they make a deal that no one's going to hurt or touch Daniel until after the tournament. And then he says, if he doesn't show up, now I'm going to go after him. I'm going to go after you. Yeah, yeah. He points at an old man, this tiny old man. I'm going to come after you, which is like a crazy thing to say.
I'm
going to
put a hit on this child, and then I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Yeah. Pretty badass thing to say.
You want to say to a high schooler, elderly man, in your place of business?
Like, God damn it. This dude's a bad man.
That's his business. That's why. In front of a bunch of high schoolers. Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
If this kid doesn't fight. It is so funny looking back on it. And again, I know we're kind of doing the what I said I don't like with the
revisionist history.
With yeah, but like, I'm not. I feel like people do it to like disparage it. I'm doing like I think it's just funny.
I'm doing everything I say is out of love. Yes, I love right. I give it a 99. I love this movie entirely.
It is very funny to be like, if that child doesn't show up to this fighting competition, we're beating the shit out of all.
What? And I'm gonna kick your mom's ass. I remember the natural for a second. The ending of the natural is amazing. You have the ball hits the lights explode. The way it's shot, all but Barry Levinson, the director.
I would have liked the lights exploding. I did like it.
Yeah.
But I would have saved that
for what? It's the end of the movie.
No, but they did it. He explodes things throughout. Oh, I would have like
breaks
had
the clock glass,
and like
yeah.
I would have been like just. Have that be the culmination. Like you just went deep a few times or a bunch of times, but the shattering, I would have left that for that one.
So Barry Levinson directed The Natural. So here's some of the movies that he directed. This, by the way, is only his second movie. He directed Diner before this, which is one of Kirk Minahan's favorite movies. He loves Diner. Diner's a good movie. I think The Natural is a little better. But then he does Rain Man later on, which is one of my – I think that's an amazing film.
Yeah.
Rain Man's great. You have Sleepers, which is a fantastic movie from the 90s. Kevin Bacon has this great performance in it. He did Wag the Dog.
Sleepers, is that the one? Is that like a fucked up one?
It's pretty fucked up. It's about these kids that...
is that an AIDS one?
No. Kids that commit a crime, go to like juvie, and they're raped by the guards.
I knew there was rape.
And then when they get older, then it flips to them being older. And the cast is crazy. It's Brad Pitt, Dustin Hoffman. It's an insane cast. When they get older, they get revenge on the guards. And it is wild.
I think that's one of Kevin's favorites. I've heard Sleepers a lot. I haven't
watched
seen
Sleepers.
It.
That's like one thing. I guess if you've read anything, watch that. It's just a fantastic movie. It's very dark. And Kevin Bacon plays one of the guards, and he's terrifying, but he's so good. But Levinson directed all sorts of interesting movies. Directed some bad ones too, like Bugsy is kind of a mess. Warren Beatty gangster movie doesn't really work. I don't really love Wag the Dog as much as some people. A Good Morning Vietnam is very good, but you can just see like there's like a number of like interesting movies in here. Barry Levinson had this really interesting career. He also created Homicide, Life on the Street, the NBC show about cops, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
He was worked with Robin Williams obviously in Good Morning Vietnam. They had a friendship for most of their lives as well professionally. So interesting career from him. And then John G. Avildsen, like I said, did Rocky, The Karate Kid, holy shit, and then does Rocky V, which is one of the worst movies
Rocky
ever
Five,
made.
Is that, which one is that?
That's one, he's poor, and then Tommy Morrison have a street fight at the end.
Yes, yeah.
It's absolutely terrible movie. It's that and Godfather 3, I pretend never existed.
I get Rocky V confused with, what was the one that came back before... There's a Rocky.
Rocky Balboa. That's when he owns the Italian restaurant.
Okay, that's when he owns it? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That is, which I still love.
That's a more recent one, right? Like
2006?
Yeah.
And then obviously you have the Creed movies.
Right.
I will say, it's funny that John G. Avildsen directed both these movies, because I would put Rocky Balboa and Daniel Russo as two of my favorite movie characters ever. Maybe George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life is in there for me.
George Bailey's in there.
I would put.
I saw that for the first time recently.
What'd you think?
I actually liked it way more than I thought it was going
to. I love that movie so much. And then Chuck Nolan from Castaway. I love him very much.
You like a lot of movies I haven't seen.
Oh, and Max Cherry from Jackie Brown. Those are my top five film characters ever.
I can't. I think these two I can speak to. These two are good ones.
Yeah. Rocky and obviously and Daniel.
I would have put Don Toretto in there somewhere, but
yeah, of course, yeah, that's fair. No, I mean, it's funny, the sequels, you do love them more. Like with Rocky, if Rocky 1 was just a self-standing movie, I wouldn't have him in there, but I like, we see him age, and like, you, it's like seeing that process makes you love them more. They seem more human.
I'm a huge sequel guy, and not in the, you know, I think it can be overdone, obviously, but I think I hate the argument against sequels when people always say just let it live. It's gonna, don't ruin it. And I don't think it's I don't think a sequel ruins anything. I think a sequel can come out and it's bad, and then it's whatever. It didn't ruin what you had and or have with another movie. I think I say if anything's a hit, like I know they're talking about Barbie sequel right now. I think do a sequel for anything that's a hit, and it, sometimes it won't work, and then you pull the plug. I don't understand why things that I think it could improve. I don't think it can ruin. I think it can possibly
so
improve.
Godfather 3 exists. I hate that movie, but it doesn't ruin Godfather 1 for me.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Karate Kid 2 and Karate Kid 3, I think, are bad movies. I still love Karate Kid 1. I just choose not to watch those again.
Caddyshack 2. Who watches Caddyshack
2? We did it on the show, Brand and I, and we both hated it, but we also love Caddyshack 1.
You love Caddyshack,
The one thing I would fight against is like remakes. I hate remakes.
Remakes is...
Like, they remade Karate Kid with Will Smith's son and Jackie Chan.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, we already have this. We don't need that.
I haven't seen it. I have not seen it. But I do also kind of get that where like you're just not going to get a kid to watch it.
Why? Like, that's on the parents. That gets me so mad. It really does.
That's fair.
That gets me furious because watch our old, like you know you watched you'd never seen Natural before and you you were intellectually curious. You came on the show with me and I suggested it. And you wanted to do it, and
I was glad you kept asking me what I wanted. I was like, whatever you
suggest. I gave you a few options, because we wanted to do Youngblood with Rob Lowe, and we couldn't find it on streaming.
That's crazy.
I've never seen that.
Oh, Youngblood's fantastic. I mean, it's a nostalgia thing. I think it's probably not that well reviewed of a movie, but I love Youngblood.
I get excited to see new movies. Like, it was fun watching these two again. I love them both, but I was kind of amped up to see Youngblood. I think I even texted you, I think like Saturday. I was like, I was ready to watch it. I'm like, I can't find it. It sucks.
I went to it right away. I was like, he must be crazy. I did like the voice of like Youngblood, and I looked it up.
I couldn't find it anywhere. Unfortunately, some of these 80s movies slipped through the cracks.
I have my hockey coach when I was young. Was the guy who skated for Rob Lowe in the movie.
Oh, wow. Scotty, like the stunt double?
Scotty McLaughlin. Shout out. Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. What are you giving Karate Kid 1 through 100?
Karate Kid, this is a time where I wish I did not make the rule for myself that I made earlier.
Rules apply. It's a judgment-free zone here.
The
Unless you disagree with me, then I yell at you.
No, I gave myself where I'm only going to say on the 10s. I probably would like to give it an 85.
Okay.
But fuck it. We round up around here. I'm a good teacher. 90.
Attaboy. All right. Karate Kid. 90 pluses. And then
that one was like, I was starting that and I was very scared. I was like, this is probably going to be pretty nostalgia based. It's probably going to be a little cringy rewatching this. And I was very, very pleasantly surprised with how well it held up.
Are you a Madman fan?
I've never seen it.
Okay.
No.
The woman who plays the secretary is Danny Russo's mom.
I knew she looked familiar. I couldn't place her.
I knew she looked familiar. She's so believable as his mom. Like, yeah. She wants to write for her son.
She had one line that stuck out to me that I thought was so cool, just as – I don't know if it was because of the way it was delivered or the way just what the character said, but when he said he got invited to a party and
– like, aren't I supposed to move around? Yeah. I'm supposed to help you move, right?
I'm saying that.
That's so cool, right?
He so casually drops a thanks, Ma.
Yeah.
And like acknowledges, she said, I thought that was a very cool
That relationship feels so real.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of moments like that. And honestly, that's the kind of moment where that might not happen today. That also might have been cut. It's just a smaller thing that didn't necessarily need to be the movie, but it made it better.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I like her. I also like it. They're at the amusement park and the kids are like, nice car, Mrs. LaRusso. Shitting on her. Those kids are such assholes. MVP of these movies for me, I'm going to obviously go Redford, and I'm going to go with I'm going to go Pat Morita. Fuck it. He's so good.
Dude, I'm mad you went first because I think I probably have to completely agree with both.
Oh, then I'm going to go Macchio. I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay, okay.
One of us has to because they're both
so good.
So great.
He is. And what's his name?
Pat Morita.
Pat
plays
Morita.
Mr. Miyagi.
Okay. Pat, he is great. That scene specifically you referenced. It is funny, again, to look back and like, he's giving the kid whiskey?
Yeah, a little wild.
Like, come on over. My wife died today. Let's slam some whiskey. But that scene in particular is so good. Daniel is, by the way, completely in the right when he flips out. And he's like, you just got me doing chores around here.
Oh, for 4 days. Like, he's working around the clock.
I think the lesson is like, you know, sometimes you're just building something and you don't really know. But it's fair to say, why am I doing this?
Absolutely.
Like, it almost feels like manipulation if you're not telling me this is going to pay dividends in the end. You're going to have a stronger shoulder and be more used to this motion. But you're like, why the fuck am I sanding your goddamn walkway in your bonsai garden or whatever it is?
Right. And I remember, too, he had just come off from getting his ass kicked for the 18,000th time. And now he's like doing this guy's, like, you know, sanding this guy's deck and doing everything else. But just fantastic. I love the slow pacing of those chores and stuff, and you're seeing kind of him slowly learn. We're learning with him. It's all awesome. This is so well done. I love this movie so much. LVPs, I don't have a ton here. I might say Kim Basinger in the she was funny.
That was Kim Basinger. I didn't look it up again. That was, yeah,
here. And she's nicely stacked as well.
She did not age at all.
No, she's like, always beautiful.
I almost feel like I don't think she looks young there, but I think she looks like as old as she did in 8 Mile.
I know.
Like I didn't watch that.
She had
a
20-year
like,
stretch where she didn't age. I mean, you've watched Batman, which came out, I know, like, whatever, 5 years later, she looks the same. Like, she always looks beautiful and stunning. And
yeah, but not like...
And she's a good actress. I just think here, I don't know if it's the right... I don't know if it worked. I don't know if I believe her in the 30s. I know she won an Oscar for L.A. Confidential, but I don't know if I believe it here as much as I do there, if that makes any sense.
I think that's fair. I would give it to, I believe, Red.
Oh, no! Richard Farnsworth. I love him.
He is just, I think, yeah, you know, I guess he plays his part where he's like, you got to pay the kid. Not the kid, the guy. I thought he was, I didn't feel like, and maybe this is a testament to Pop is the head coach.
Is it Wilford Brimley, yeah.
Wilford Brimley. Maybe he steals the screen so much when he's on that I always thought Red was kind of just there.
Richard Farnsworth, really? Killed himself, shot himself in the head like 15 years later.
He probably agreed with me.
Yeah, he's on some movie. He's like, oh, I am the LVP. Hold up that gun. this be the last episode of Double Play. Karate Kid. I don't know if I have an LVP. I love this movie so much. I don't know if, is there anyone? Oh, you know who I would probably give it to? Allie's shitty friends. I hate those girls.
Allie's friends were not, but also, you know, this is it's 2023. I thought there were times where they should have taken a hint. They had to step in, but take a hint, get the hell out of here. And
they didn't want anything to do with it. They're like, oh, he's poor, fuck him. They were mean about him since day one. Like, oh, what did they? Wait, I don't like grime, or I don't like whatever.
You're right about. I forgot about that line.
They just say shit. You can tell they hate him.
There was something.
They never gave him a chance.
Where is it? I wrote something down.
I don't believe Allie would ever have any interest in Daniel, by the way.
No.
Like the whole thing is ridiculous. I talked about this with Kirk, and he said that it was the first time ever where the actress outweighs the actor, which is a really funny observation.
Oh, here it is. That fight in the arcade.
Yes.
Where that, and then, okay, so this is the point to you. Where, like, should she have to explain herself? Like, I caught her kissing somebody.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I got, like, spaghetti sauce over my shirt. Like, I got embarrassed.
Everyone
laughed at me.
The last thing I saw was, like, her kissing someone.
Her ex-boyfriend?
It is fair to be a little upset and, yes, ask for an explanation.
Right.
She shouldn't have to explain herself. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? She shouldn't have to explain herself.
Alex,
she should.
Alex's friends suck. Anything else?
No. That is I'm giving Dutch the least valuable in the Karate
Kid. Oh, Dutch!
Yeah. Pick a side, bro. Pick a side. He was flip-flopping too much.
You just put him in a body bag. Yeah. Him and Richard Farnsworth. we'll be back next week. Thanks for joining.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Clemmer.